musical too.
Oh my gosh. Huma Nuka. Oh yeah.
Exactly.
I got it.
Numa.
Uka Upa Wa'a.
The Mystery Files.
This is the Mystery Files. Hey there.
I'm Logan LeMaster.
And I'm Tiffany Walker.
We pick between first names and last names every episode.
We do. Also, I don't know why. I've noticed the past couple episodes I keep saying Tiffany Walker, but in like an Australian accent. And I don't know why I'm doing that.
Because you're Australian. Because I'm Australian. Australian for running and jogging.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look it up.
And LeMaster is, I don't know, I couldn't even, a master of
Slay.
Karate. Of slay. Karate. I don't know.
Girl in French, look at me.
Oui. I love.
Welcome yes. to The Mystery Files presents
The Summer Tapes. Bam, bam, bam.
Season 4.
Yeah.
Episode 2.
Number 2. Yes.
We are great to be here. We're happy to be here.
Yes. I'm so excited. Literally, also, I'd like to point out that Logan is wearing our beautiful merchandise.
Like a little bit. Like,
show her. Show
oh, I'm
them.
So sorry. Here we go. Look at that, everybody.
Wow. The she's stunning. Files. She's so cute.
Where can everyone get that, Tiffany?
They can find it at this silly little place called Bonfire. And to more specifically find our page, either look up the Mystery Files podcast or you can go on our Instagram at @TheMysteryFiles_ and look in our little link tree and you'll find our merchandise and all sorts of other fun things.
Yes.
So click on it all.
This is our little Barbie movie crossover. Well, it's yes. more of the Summer Tapes. It's the Summer Tapes promo logo, but it's yes. giving very much Barbie movie.
It's so cute.
If you love Greta Gerwig, if you love Margot Robbie, if you, or even Oppenheimer.
Honestly, if you love women.
If you love women, like me and Tiffany.
Yeah.
Get the shirt.
It'll be crazy if you bought our merch if you love women. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. I'm not going to say nothing, but.
If you support small podcasts like us.
Proof's in the pudding. That's all I'm saying. Proof is in the pudding.
Shirt. And also, they slay.
They it's slay. Cute. They do.
I'm so yes. sad the crew neck hasn't come yet. I need it.
It's sad.
Really bad.
Mine's not coming for a long time because
why?
I just ordered it like 2 days ago.
Oh.
I had to wait till I got paid. But also, I haven't bought that one yet because Benjamin and I bought separate designs.
Wow.
So I can only buy one for now. So I bought the skull for now.
Really?
Yeah. But I will be buying that
one. Has the shirt right now?
Yeah. But I will be buying it in light blue long sleeve, just to let
ooh,
you know. So know that is a plan. I love the designs. Haven't bought it yet.
I got this white look on it right now.
She's a stunner.
She looks a little cute.
Good work. I'm just excited to be celebrating the Summer Tapes, honestly.
I know. It's so exciting. It's going to be your turn this week.
It is, because last week you covered...
The Backrooms.
The Backrooms. Honestly, my brain blanked for a second. I was like, what did you cover last week? Yes, the Backrooms. They're stunning. They're scary.
Literally. Also, thank you guys for all the love on that episode.
Yes.
That was crazy.
We love you guys the most.
Like, the YouTube video has almost, I think, 200 views right now,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, wild.
It's so
us.
Stinking exciting.
We only get a couple ones that, like,
yeah.
hit that high. So I was like super excited to see that.
Yay.
So thank you.
Wonderful job out there, guys.
Yeah.
And we're also excited for the YouTube viewers out there. We are excitedly announcing that we have an editor.
We have an editor. Hi Seth.
I forgot your last name. That's on me though. But his name is Seth and he's a lovely, lovely person. So I'm excited. So if you're watching the episode or if you're listening, might also have a change there too, but like check it out. It's amazing. So thank you, Seth. But this is the show. We're ready
yes.
to rock and roll. I
are
hope...
you ready to get into it?
Yes.
Your
she's
going to
be long.
Is long.
I worry that she is very long. So just
how many
buckle
pages
up.
Is it? Let everyone know.
56.
Just a casual 56.
Just a casual 56. I'm so sorry. I got really excited. I can cut some stuff down. So if it gets
yeah.
a little too much, I can just...
Get to paraphrasing.
Get
right
to the
now.
Paraphrasing.
You go, start, the end.
Start, it's done.
You go, the mystery of the end.
It's actually the end.
That's
the end of time.
Episode.
What? No.
Would you like a little drum roll?
I would.
I'm going to do it with my mouth. You ready?
Uh-huh. This week on Z Mystery Files presents the Summary Tapes. Wait, the Summary Tapes.
The Summary Tapes.
Yes. This week on Z Mystery Files presenting the Summer Tapes, we have the episode of... Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready? Are you ready? The theory of simulation.
Oh.
That we're living in a simulation. Isn't that nuts?
Right now?
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of are because we're digital right now to the people who are listening.
Whoa. We are the simulation.
We are a simulation.
Beep, boop, bop.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wait, that's what we were talking about before with AI voices and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's so wild.
I was like, ooh, okay.
I get so close every time.
You
that's
said
wild.
You just have a little inkling.
Okay, simulations.
Yes. So I feel like the first part of this episode might be a little science-y, but it's all worth it in the end. So if you're like, man, science sucks, well, the Earth is science.
And
so.
We're here to teach you as much as I can help you.
Yeah. It's not super scientific, but enough.
It's basically.
It's enough science.
Who's better to teach science than us? Look at us.
We're clearly qualified. That's all I'm saying.
Don't we look like scientists?
I mean,
don't we sound like scientists too?
Beep, boop, bop.
Math. Hello.
Hello, science.
Yeah. I gotta ask real quick.
Yeah.
Did you get the inspiration from the Jonah's Awful episode too? Or no?
This, a little bit of Black Mirror, by the way.
Black Mirror.
And also just last week, your technology backroom stuff. Yeah, because I was like, that's kind of like simulation vibes. And I was like, I kind of want to talk about it. So I was like, slightly backpacking off of you.
We're getting so like techie and like abstract with
so
this
silly
season.
Goose egg. But yes, I'm very excited to get into this. So
yeah,
I'm going to cite my sources because I always forget and Logan always remembers. But we've got builtin.com, vulture.com, and buzzfeed.com for some silly little things. So if you're like, BuzzFeed's not reliable, it is for this tiny little thing. That's all I'm saying. You're like, BuzzFeed.
Sorry, I just got a little triggered.
It's fine. We'll recover. Okay, to the intro. What is reality? Countless brainiacs and scientists have pondered that question for centuries, formulating theories that run the gamut from scientific to mystical. Some outside-the-box thinkers, including philosophers and physicists, posted the answer can be found in the simulation theory, which contends it's possible that reality is merely an ultra-high-tech computer simulation in which we live inside. So if you're out there saying, what is simulation theory? Well, simulation theory says that we are all likely living in an extremely powerful computer program, so think the Matrix movie. It sounds far-fetched, but Swedish philosopher Nick Bostrom showed in 2003 that it's more probable than one might think. Bostrom's seminal paper called Are We Living in a Simulation? Explains that the future generations might have megacomputers that can run numerous and detailed simulations of their forebears. In other words, these ancestor simulations, in which simulated beings are being infused with a sort of artificial consciousness. So odds are that we are all products of that simulation. So, yeah.
Great. Can I just say real quick?
Yeah.
I don't know why this stuck with me out of this.
Yeah.
But a philosopher being in 2003 just feels wild to me.
Yeah. Like, they were thinking like that dated... back then?
Yeah. Like, I thought philosophers were like, I'm thinking like, 1100.
Oh, wait,
like
you thought they were like old times.
Yeah, I didn't know we had modern day philosophers. I was like, dang, this man's just saying stuff.
Yeah, I wonder how like you get that title.
Yeah,
how do
you should be philosophers.
The philosophers.
How do you get that title?
It's the Philosopher Files now. You're welcome. Spin-off. It's the spinoff. Summer Tapes and then Philosopher Files.
The Mystery Files presents the Summer Tapes presents Philosopher Files.
I can barely say just the Summer Tapes.
Philosopher.
Fossil files?
Philosophers?
Just keep saying
Velociraptor!
Aww. But it's dinosaurs.
Aww.
I have dinosaur earrings.
You do!
They're stunning.
Wow.
I think I just grabbed its neck. Is that its neck or its tail? I can't see.
That's just...
Yeah.
Wild to me.
That like philosophers.
Yeah, just what are his credits to be like, hey, by the way, we're living in a simulation. That's like crazy.
I don't know.
I believe him.
Especially in 2003.
Yeah.
Like, you're telling me in 2000 that they were like, oh, the internet exists. And then 2003.
Well, yeah.
And then 2003 is when they're like, we're living in a simulation.
Well, the what happened?
Weren't they afraid in 2000 that the world was going to end?
1999, they were afraid.
Because into 2000 is what
they were worried that the digits wouldn't, like, be able to flip over to 2-0-0. Mm-hmm. 2-0-0-0.
Three zeros.
What you said.
All those zeros.
All those zeros in there.
But, yeah, they thought the world was going to end if it were to happen, which is nuts.
Yeah. Like, so it's probably, like, it would make sense for 2003 to have that theory of, like, okay, if we were so worried that, like, binary code would not know how to switch over to the year 2000, like...
And if it did, that means we must be living in a simulation. They said the math is mathing now.
Well, I remember, like, from studies I've seen on that, like, people were, like, literally, like... buying out like grocery stores and stuff, like robbing places, because they really thought it was going to be the end of the world. Like, that's crazy.
Well, my question is, like, back then, did they think like, oh, the world is going to explode vibes, or like that it was going to be like apocalyptic? Like, what did they think was going to be apocalyptic about it? Like, the technology?
I think it was apocalyptic. Not that the technology was going to like turn on them or something.
Okay.
But because of the way technology was made, they didn't think they found a way to add the year 2000 to all technology. So they thought when the year 2000 happened, the technology would get confused, freak out, things would shut down, like electricity would stop, the internet, like everything, like the whole world with technology would have just imploded on itself.
That's nuts to me. And I know, like, my brain, I'm coming from the perspective of, like, I grew up in the technology era. Yeah. But, like, why'd they believe that?
I feel like it's one of those things, like, we've talked about in other episodes where, like, there's, like, kind of hysteria thing.
Yeah.
I would love to talk to someone who, I guess, was there.
Yeah, I'm like, were you actually afraid? Or was it just, like, some people just, like, being silly goose? You know, like, what's the, like, vibes?
Was it for press?
Yeah.
Or, and, like, there was just a few little tidbits happening? Or was it, like, more
in depth? Like, was, like, the press scared and trying to scare you? And everyone else was just like, oh, they're just dumb.
Yeah, because we were two when that happened. Just, well, were you two? You were, like,
I was
one.
I was born in 1999.
I was born in 98,
so. Well, I guess I was kind of getting close to one because I was born in March of 1999. So, like, I had some time in that year.
You had a, like, if we could remember, I'd like to know what was going on.
I go, I'm so scared, Mom, of the internet.
We can ask our parents. They were there.
Yeah.
I guess.
Were you there that day when it turned 2000?
Were you there the day it turned to the year 2000?
They go, You were there too, dummy. Were you there by chance?
Oh my God.
Were you old enough to remember? I birthed you, so I really hope I remember. God forbid.
They're like, no, you were too busy crying for me to notice.
You were screaming over the year time change. But yeah, so in terms of, like, the product, us being products of the simulation, Bostrom continued, like, it could be the case, and that the vast majority of minds like ours do not belong to the original race, rather to people simulated by the advanced descendants of the original race. So, like, the original people.
Yeah,
and
the
then
first ones.
It goes down to, like, byproducts of those people.
Oh my God.
As the people that are simulated. By, like, advanced people that could make a simulation. It's, like, a whole thing.
Are we going to get into that? Because I guess my question is why?
There's some why.
Okay.
There's some why. Cool. Don't you fret. That's why it's 56 pages. That's why it's long for you. So it is then possible to argue that if this were the case, we would be rational to think that we are likely among the simulated minds rather than among the original biological ones. So, like, are we still with the people that created the simulation? Probably not, but, like, so some people don't think that, but other ones are like, we'd rather not be among the biological people who made the simulation.
So they're saying, like, they made our simulation and kind of, like, not we went rogue with it, but we became our own entity. Kind of
well, that and, like, I feel like by now we've gone down the ancestry tree that, like, the original people who started the simulation and created all of this don't exist anymore. So we're just products of what they've created, which is probably even scarier.
So there's no one taking care of us. That's more terrifying.
Unless they've, like, pre-programmed it to already take care of us, which is, like, or, like, make it have a certain destination to reach.
That's
which
terrifying.
Could be, like, the world ending. They're like, in the year 2086, da-da-da-da-da's gonna happen after this hits the Earth.
Oh my
or,
God, like, when you write into an AI, like, what, like...
Yeah, it puts a ChatGPT on the universe, essentially. They go, well, what would happen if... Da-da-da-da?
What
yeah.
if the end of the world happened? That's...
Beep-boop-bop blow up. That's what would happen.
That's scary.
So, like, that's kind of this basic concept.
So, they're saying me talking right now is, like, an algorithm, basically, that's deciding...
It could be. That's one person's side of it. It's either that or that those people are still... alive inside.
They're monitoring us.
Monitoring inside whatever this would be.
Gotcha.
But it depends what you believe.
That makes sense why I'm so funny. Like, because I'm just
they're
like
ooh, we gotta focus more on the slogan character.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this guy?
They're screenwriters.
Oh, he's got jokes.
That's silly goose egg energy.
Oh, those podcasters, they got jokes.
They may be making jokes.
What if they did this for episode 70 and they go, whoa.
We make accents because they said so. I'm like, well, it was ChatGPT. Well, I don't know what to tell you. So, if we live in a computer simulation, who is the programmer? That's the next part of it. So, other philosophers have expanded on Bostrom's argument. New York University philosophy professor David Chalmers described the higher being responsible for this potential hyper-realistic simulation as a programmer in the next universe up. So, like, think the Spider-Verse. So, like, we have our universe, and then one above us is who is controlling us. So perhaps one we mortals might consider a god of some sort, though not necessarily in a traditional sense. So they may just be a teenager, Chalmers said, hacking on a computer and running five universes in the background. So, like, it could just be some random person out there going, this universe over here.
I would hate that.
And that's what we're living. And it's just controlling, like, five different things, which is, like, nuts. Because it's also, like, think of how intelligent they'd have to be to put so much energy into just our universe alone. Like, there's so much happening.
He's making universe over here, and he's got, like, Mountain Dew bottles all over the floor. Yeah, for real. Monster cans and, like, Xbox controllers.
He has, like, different branded ones because it's his universe, and, like, we have just the lower quality of everything.
We have the one from, like, the year, like, XG974 mm-hmm. or something.
Do you know how, like, some stores have, like, off-brand pop that's, like, Red Cola number 6. Like, it's, they have that. Like, our versions are that to them. That's, they have something even better. So they're like, ew, Sprite? Like,
ugh, can you believe they have to drink that? Those little disgusting. Robots?
Those
that's
so stupid funny. Names. They're like, ours are way better.
Ew, like, when in, like, TV shows, they have to, like, not use a brand name. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh my god. Yeah. I got a,
orange cola, a Sprite.
I got an orange cola.
A spritzy boy.
Spritzy boy.
One of those lightning spritz boys.
Oh, yeah. I love those orange spritzy boys.
Mm-hmm. Yum.
Give me the orange spritzy boys and
free my soul.
I want to leave this AI generator and drift away.
Into the
universe.
Please
hit control alt
delete on my life.
Please.
Please. Simulator, please.
Flip.
Beep, boop, bop. Please send help. But it could be someone who is nonetheless omniscient, so, like, more godlike, all-knowing, and all-powerful about our world. So, like, I guess there could be that programmer guy who's beep-bopping with his Mountain Dew off-brand things is the god to us, but to each their own. So then we go to, how is reality even defined? So here we go. We're about to get dive in.
All right.
Well, that's why I was like, here's some scientific stuff.
Not
so,
a loaded
like,
question.
So honestly, if you guys are like, I might spiral, it's going to get silly. So, like, don't be too freaked out. Because normally this stuff freaks me out. And that's why I'm talking about it. Because you talk through it, like, in therapy. So simulation theory also builds on the argument philosophers have been having for centuries. So, which is that we can never know if what we're seeing is real. Which, that's my main issue with everything. I've talked to Logan many times, like, the idea of, like, oh, am I awake? Is this all a dream? Yeah. Is this real? Is this fake? That freaks me out to my core, so that's why I decided to do this episode. Yeah, that? Say that to me and I will not be well. So, is this real? Is this whole concept? So, simply because we perceive the world as real and material doesn't mean that it is so, said Rizwerk Virk. He was a tech entrepreneur and the author of The Simulation Hypothesis. Fun little book. So, in fact, the findings of quantum physics may shed some doubt on the fact that the material universe is real. The more that the scientists look for the material in the material world, the more they find that it doesn't exist. Which...
what does that even mean?
What? The more they try to define it as being real, look for the material in the material world, the more they say it doesn't exist. Which,
what are they saying material in a material world is?
I don't know.
Like a material girl that we are living in, and I am a material girl?
Okay, Mwah. Barbie. Okay, Barbie. But I don't know. In terms of, like, quantum physics, which...
Girl.
Do I look like I know quantum physics?
I do.
This physics guy said this. But
this physics man. This physician.
This silly little scientist man. All-knowing, omniscient scientist man. So he's saying the more they find, the more it doesn't exist, which, okay.
That makes no sense.
All right, you said it, not me.
Girl, you're just saying stuff.
He be saying stuff.
No, him, girl.
Him, girl.
He's the girl.
Reconsider. He's the diva. So the findings of quantum physics may shed some doubt on the fact that the material universe is real as well. So Virk mentioned the renowned physicist John Wheeler, who also worked with Albert Einstein decades ago. In his lifetime, Wheeler said physics had evolved from the premise that everything is a particle to everything is information.
I've heard of that before.
So he also coined a phrase that's well known in scientific circles, it from bit, meaning everything is based on information. Even the definition of a particle in physics is kind of fuzzy, Virk added, and may in fact just be qubit. Wait, oh, qubit, that's how you say that. What's your...
Qdobo? Girl, let me see.
No, I put it qubit.
Oh, qubit.
Qubit, a quantum computing bit. So that's what that means. Qubit, quantum computing bit.
It's a terrible name.
You're telling me?
Telling me it's a qubit?
Qubit?
You got a qubit.
You got a qubit. That's what they said, for real. So even more mind-meltingly, theoretical physicist David Bohm once posted this notion, which is reality is what we take to be true. What we take to be true is what we believe. And what we believe is based upon our perceptions. And what we perceive depends on what we look for. So it keeps going down this, so bear with me. Mm-hmm. What we look for depends on what we think. What we think depends on what we perceive. What we perceive depends on what we believe. And what we believe determines what we take to be true. And what we take to be true is our reality. So it's all deductions of one another and one another and one another.
Yeah.
So basically, what we take to be true is our reality in which we're living.
Like the brain, or like the human brain, as far as we know, tries to rationalize everything around it. So we just take a truth and a truth and a truth to try to figure out a truth.
So I think that's essentially what they were saying in the idea that, like, the more material is not material, because it's what is true.
I guess that's true. Like, what really is, like, a cup when you think about it? But what makes a cup? And how does that become a cup?
Yeah. If it's true to you, then it's true to the reality. Yeah. If it's not true to you, then it's not true to the reality.
Imagine listening to this episode and then watching a How It's Made episode.
Yeah.
You'd have a panic attack.
Yeah.
You'd be like, well, that's not real. That's not a factory.
It's stressing me out. It's not even real. How was it made? It's not existing.
How was it made? It's not even real. How was it real?
How was it real? They start panicking out there. Bear with us. And what we take to be true, more than a few folks believe that among the tech entrepreneur Elon Musk, who famously said the words that we're not living in a simulation, are one in billions, is what he said. So it might now, or at least someday, be merely the effect of simulated brains and nervous systems processing a simulated world.
Girl, I don't trust a thing that man says.
Elon Musk, never heard of him. No, I haven't. Yeah. But, yeah.
He ruined Twitter, so I'm gonna just, like...
doesn't exist.
And he hates gay people, so.
So he's not true to our reality, is what
he's
I'm hearing.
He's not true to our reality.
Understood.
The most AI-generated
so
thing.
Does he actually hate gay people? What did he say? What did he do?
He just,
spill
the
tea. Let him know.
He I don't know, like, everything, but I know he made, like, a tweet that was, like, a picture of, like, a GIF of a rainbow flag being thrown into a dumpster on July 1st, being, like, finally. And he's just made a lot of more, like, free speech for, like, hate and stuff like that. So he's just, like...
I did not know that. Yeah. And that is incredibly disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, ooh. No.
And he decided to date Grimes, which is a penalty to society, because...
Is Grimes good or bad?
Grimes is... good. She's good for the gays.
Okay.
She's good. She makes good music.
Wow. Is she still with him?
No.
Oh, good. Okay. I don't know. I'm behind on the Musk tea. But
on the Musky tea.
On the Musky tea. Well, turns out there's no tea with Musk because he sucks. Yeah.
He says, what did he say? We're one in...
one in a billion is like the idea of being in a simulation. One in billions.
The chances of us being in a simulation is one in a billion?
Yeah. Like, he doesn't... he thinks it's very far-fetched.
Girl, well, with a forehead like that, we must be in a simulation. How about that?
His view on the world now is far-fetched. So I think he's the yesho. So to Musk's unique way of thinking, the strongest argument for our probably being in a simulation is that, as he put it in 2016... 40 years ago, we had Pong, two rectangles and a dot. This is what games were. Now, 40 years later, we have photorealistic 3D simulations with millions of people playing simultaneously. So, like, he was talking about the way video games have evolved so quickly.
Who is this?
This is also Elon Musk. So,
okay, that one's not.
That's making sense to me. The idea that, like, this could spiral so quickly that it could be around the corner if it doesn't exist now.
Okay.
Which makes sense. So, and soon we'll have virtual reality, augmented reality, and if you assume any rate of improvement at all, the games will become indistinguishable from reality, which, that's a horrifying thought, considering, like, how, we were just, Logan and I were talking prior to the show about, like, the idea of, like, deep fakes and, like, that kind of stuff, so I feel like if that's the idea, then we're not far from it if it doesn't already exist.
No, right, exactly. I mean, like, the whole, like, Jonah's Awful thing, and then also Danny was talking about before, like, with the whole Nicki Minaj and Tom Holland deepfake like video, like, that was, like, they didn't know about it and stuff, and, like, they were able to make it, so it's like,
that's so scary.
Like, it was able to make some type of, like, it's, I guess it wouldn't be, like, sentient life, but it's deepfake. It's like, it's made to look real. And
so
it's...
did Danny say that it was, they were put on the head of a couple, or they were replaced with a couple?
They were shown to be a couple.
They were shown to be a couple. Yeah. Okay, I couldn't remember, but...
yeah, they were, like, made to look like a couple, since that's, like, a big joke with them, that Nicki Minaj and Tom Holland are, like, dating.
Yeah. Why would they do that to Zendaya? To Zendaya, for real?
To Zendaya, for real?
Why? Yeah. But that's nuts. I kind of want to see it, to see, like, how realistic it is. But I've heard stuff with deepfakes like that, and then, like, the voice ones. People have, like, auto-generated voice stuff or recorded a few words, and, like, they were able to, like, make whole things out of it. Mm-hmm. Which, that is so stinking scary.
This is very random.
Yeah.
And it's a sidebar.
Mm-hmm.
But still on the subject.
Yeah.
I've been watching the TV show Archer.
Okay.
The one, like, on Hulu that's on FX.
The green guy?
No. That's...
are you sure?
No, Archer. Like, the one, the guy from Bob's Burgers show.
Oh!
The cartoon.
I'm thinking of that. What's that green show?
Archer. I don't know.
No.
The guy with the bow.
Yeah.
Him. The guy, Green Arrow. No.
Green. No. I feel like that's also called Archer.
Google, please.
Is that
Google.
Also called Archer? Google, please. Archer, green
Google,
guy.
We're gonna yell at.
Beep
please.
Boop bye. I can't spell. Isn't that also Archer? Or am I a silly goose? Who are you? Green Arrow. He's also Archer.
Look up just Archer TV show.
It's gonna show. Why? Now I know what you're talking about, but I want to know what I'm talking about. Well.
Growing up.
That, see, there it didn't help me at all.
There it is. That's the show I'm talking about.
Okay. I don't know what I'm talking about. Green guy.
Anyways.
Green Arrow man.
Spoilers for that show real quick.
Yeah, okay.
Like season 7, I think. Mm-hmm. But Archer goes into like a coma.
Uh-huh.
And they do 3 seasons where he's in the coma.
Mm.
And like it's all different like versions of all the characters in different scenarios.
Wow.
And it's so weird. The like last season they do is like a futuristic thing. Mm-hmm. And they show his like friends glitching and like becoming like the real them, and they're like, wake up. And then they like, it's like a whole thing of like his brain trying to do it.
Oh my gosh.
Right? So then in the season after he wakes up from the coma, mm-hmm. he has like PTSD from what he saw in there. So he like sees his friends in the real world glitching.
That's so scary.
Because he was so vivid That's memory scary. In the coma. I just, that just reminded me of that. Like the whole idea, like Ooh. He was basically like, am I still in this coma living in a simulation? It's wild.
Could you imagine like if we went into a coma and like the coma was us living in a simulation? Because we're hooked up to all those machines.
Right.
Oh, what if we're in now? Don't
we're
say that.
We're both in a room right now.
That, like, really freaks me out. Yeah, stop it. Come back to us, Tiffany.
Come back, Tiffany. Wake up.
I feel like disassociate a lot?
Yes, me too.
So then that's when I really feel like I'm not real. This isn't real. Yeah. None of this is happening.
Out
and
of
then
body.
Someone goes, wake up, Tiffany. And I go, I already feel like I'm not woken up. So when you say that, it really doesn't feel right. No, but for real.
No, yeah, it's wild. I just, that was making me think about it. Like, I feel like sometimes, like, you know when your eyes play tricks on you?
Yeah.
I'm, like, scared that's a glitch. Like, in the Matrix, girl.
You keep adding to the pod. I need to go to therapy. I'm just like, okay, it is real, Tiffany, I swear to God. Okay. Stop. Stop that right now. Okay, so how would simulated reality work? So, what AI is to the movie world, for the Terminator, simulation theory is to the movie world, the Matrix. So, you following?
Kind of.
Following AI Terminator simulation
cool.
Matrix movie.
Great.
So Matrix depicts a post-apocalyptic world in which a race of machines have captured most of humanity. I'm going to say, what's it called? Spoilers. Ha. If you haven't seen it, but here we go. The Matrix.
Okay.
So I'm talking about The Matrix. I don't want to spoil anything. People haven't seen it or want to watch it soon. Okay. Depicts a post-apocalyptic world in which a race of machines have captured most of humanity and imprisoned their minds within an artificial reality known as The Matrix in order to harvest humans' body heat and electrochemical energy. So, in the film, humans going about their everyday lives didn't realize they were actually living in a simulation because a cable plugged into their neocrates beamed in their signals of their brain read their reactions.
Mm-hmm.
So one way to achieve that or something like that in the real world, Virk said, would be to gain a greater understanding of human consciousness and how it works so we can produce a conscious AI. Which I literally hate that. That's like, what's that movie with Will Smith? iRobot?
Yeah.
iRobot traumatized me.
iRobot.
I literally can't watch iRobot. You robot. No, I literally can't watch iRobot. That's why. Conscious AI.
Mm-mm.
No, thank you. So the far less technical alternative, he said, is tricking our consciousness into thinking that we are in reality when we are in a video game. So in which non-player... Stop acting like that, Logan. In which non-player characters exhibit intelligent human-like behavior that passes the Turing test. So this, he concluded, somewhat ominously, is coming. In fact, quantum computing may play a major role in advancing in-game AI. So if you're already playing video games and you get, like, so immersed in the world and, like, they're not even, like, as high as they could be in terms of quality, it's coming. It's coming and I'm afraid for it.
That just reminds me with the trailer with the Barbie movie, how, like, she just realizes she's not actually real.
Yeah.
They have the whole thing with the shoe and the flip-flop or something in the trailer. Like, it's very that, because that's a Matrix reference. Like, that, like, how Barbie's not real.
That's nuts. Also, not to be this person, but isn't it very similar to Teen Beach Movie?
Yes, it is. Thank you. I'm literally saying that.
Because I was watching the trailer again, and I'm like, hold up.
I mean, that's what I did for our summer tapes thing. Yeah. I was like, think Teen Beach Movie.
My brain did not make that correlation. Because I didn't realize what Barbie was about prior. Because, like, I'd watched the trailer before, but it wasn't, like, giving some
of the... It wasn't giving a lot of the plot.
Yeah. Movies. So then I was like, wait, that's what Logan meant. And also Teen Beach Movie.
Right.
That's
thank
so
you.
Stinking
Hello.
Fun. Hello.
I got concept.
10 out of 10.
Conceptual. Buy the shirt. Buy the shirt.
Buy the shirt. And the sweaters. We love her. But also, there was another movie. Oh, Ready Player One. Just rewatched it. A fantastic movie, by the way.
Crazy.
But I was like, that was perfect. I had already picked the simulation theory as like my case today. Mm-hmm. But like, it was just funny because I watched that movie after I already picked the case. I'm like, that's so cool. And I wasn't even trying to do that.
Yeah.
Because Benjamin was like, we should watch this. And I was like, oh, let's watch it. And it was perfect. You told him? Yeah, about the case, yeah. But it was just funny that he randomly picked it. He just wanted to watch it. I'm like, look at you, just so understanding the life.
Okay.
So, is technology advanced enough to simulate reality? So, Bostrom argued in 2003, this is technology from 2003, paper that if humans are able to survive thousands of years to reach a post-human state, one in which we have acquired most of the technological capabilities, consistent with physical laws and material and energy constraints, it's likely they would have the capabilities to run ancestral simulations.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that type of post-human simulator, Bostrom also wrote, would need sufficient computing power to keep track of the detailed belief states in all human brains at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd have to, it's basically like fact-checking to like make sure the universe is computing properly so like no one sees that is wrong. They go, that little thing right there, that's a mess up.
Ooh.
But it also comes, it'll lead to some other stuff we talk about later.
Ooh, that's
in terms
Spider-Verse
of like,
also. Mm-hmm. Like the whole stuff. Oh, like.
It's like
you,
that.
You messed the canon event up.
You messed it up.
You messed up the canon event.
And then later we'll get into like the glitches and everything in the world. But like that. The glitch. No. Do not. See, that's too real. That's a little too real. Yeah, that's not right. That ain't it. So why would they do this? Because it would essentially need to sense observations, so like of birds, cars, and like everything going on around us. So before they happened and provide simulated detail of whatever was about to be observed. In the event of a simulation breakdown, the director, whether teenager or giant-headed alien or something, could simply edit the states of any brain that have come aware of anomaly before it spoils the simulation. So like they would kind of like predate your thought essentially they can see it coming so they're like we got to fix this before they realize they're going to think it and then it's going to mess up the simulation so it's so advanced just prior to you thinking it which kind of seems like I don't want to be this person but it kind of seems like it's something that's already happening because of all the ways that like I like vaguely think of something not talk to anyone about it in real life not look it up and then it pops up either in like a TikTok or it pops up in like my ads for like and
it
I'm
feels
like
that's it's a part of your brain
that seems like something that's a little too real because it's already happening and like I know some things you can be like oh well I was talking to my friend about this and it popped in my FYP that's still kind of weird but like the fact that I'll think about it and it just pops up randomly on my ads I'm
the
like
one
that's
in the
creepy.
Brain is like that's weird like what if you got a chip in there right now and it's like
someone's already tracking it I'm like
that's so wild
because that happens a lot like a lot to me and I'm like okay so it's basically already happening
like,
cool.
There's, like, a lot of, I don't know about TikTok, but there's a lot of manipulation with, like, certain social medias. How, like, Facebook's made to make you sad.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Facebook's made to make you sad.
I never thought about that.
Talked about it. Like,
wow, why?
It's supposed to, like, because they found more engagement with, like, negative content on their services. So they show you more negative content to keep you
occupied.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really like Facebook anyway, so...
Yeah.
Joke's on you. Facebook.
Which is, like, a part of that, like, simulation theory. Like, it's been proven. Also, CoStar. Mm-hmm. Have I told you about that before?
No. Oh!
CoStar, they made a test that was supposed to make you feel bad, good, or indifferent. Like, they ran a test and were like, we're going to give this person this and track their data on their phone to see how their mood was that day.
The thing is, that's weird. Well, is that... I feel like there's also a thing that, like, once you look at your co-star and it says, oh, good luck today, it's not going to go well, then I feel like that also just, like, puts you in a mindset of, like, today's going to be a bad day.
Yeah, that's what they want. It's,
but, like,
weird.
If you were to check it later on in your day and it was, like, you were going to have a wonderful day today and you were, like, I did have a wonderful day today, then that's going to be, like, okay.
That's
like I kind of get it.
It's like, it's weird. It's like a weird like thing with it. I don't know why, but like that feels also like in that AI like simulation thing of like social media is trying to manipulate us.
Yeah, it definitely is. Respectfully, don't be messing with
me. And we're real,
social
by
media.
The way. We're as real
we're
as we can get,
so
by the way.
So stinking real.
If you're watching or listening right now, we're real.
Glitch.
Hear me out.
Glitch. Beep boop bop.
Why Dodina's pizza rolls?
Pizza rolls. Alternatively, the director could skip back a few seconds and rerun the simulation in a way that avoids the problem. So, like, I mean...
Like a fast-forward button on a remote?
That, or I'm also thinking, like, deja vu.
Oh.
Like, what if that's
like
why?
Time glitches.
But, like, we don't remember how that, like, the deja vu ends because they just stopped it and redid it. So we're like, I remember this second. And they're like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Well, I've talked to you about that before, that, like, my deja vu theory. We've definitely talked about it on the podcast before, how, like, I think deja vu is time travel. So that would make sense.
It literally makes sense.
It's like editing a clip together on a movie or, like, a video.
They're just going back a few seconds.
I'm just a box inside a box inside of a bunch of gigabytes.
We only exist on the internets. Beep boop.
I mean, we technically do to everyone.
I mean,
who
to,
that's a
to
podcast.
Them, you know what's true? You know what is true? The reality in which you're watching us on your computer, but you don't even know if we exist in real life.
Yeah. If you saw me in real life, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't. I'm just a figment of your brain.
Exactly.
Because the simulator person told us.
You think someone could be actually this funny?
Wrong.
Wrong.
No.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Literally, absolutely not.
It's unachievable.
It's unachievable and will never happen.
You could never be this funny.
You could never. We start threatening all of them. You're welcome. Oh, wow. Wow. So we're likely not there yet, is what Virk had said. But I feel like we are. We're there. We're there, in my humble opinion. Right now. So, but Burke thinks that we will at some point be there. But there are 10 checkpoints on the road to full-blown simulation, he said. And we're nearly halfway to our destination. So he says... But there are also major barriers ahead, he added, namely that we could get brain-computer interfaces. So this involves technology that can communicate and be controlled directly through brain waves, according to a report from the nonprofit policy think tank RAND Corporation. But for now, however, those don't exist yet. But they're coming.
They're on their way.
They're coming. So, do we live in a simulation? We'll just get to this little part right now. Calling simulation theory a bit flaky but a fascinating idea is what astronomer Martin Rees nonetheless remained curious about.
Oh, great. We have astronomers, too.
We got the space guys talking now.
Great.
They all think
this
they
guy
got...
wants to talk
Another
now.
Man gets to talk about simulation theory.
The guy who made CoStar wants to get to talking now.
He's like, I'm already doing it.
He's looking at some stars, telling me to have
For
a
real.
Bad day.
I mean... You're making connections, though. Like, it's kind of making sense. Why
like
are you
stars.
Good at this? Okay, stars. Okay, astronomer. Okay, co-star. Yeah.
I'm going to be an astronomer.
You can do it. If you can, you can. Astronomer Martin Rees, nonetheless, remained curious about this in this interview. He said, the real question, he said, is what are the limits of computing powers? Or are there limits? Judging by the type of real-world simulation scientists can now run on supercomputers, what might they be able to run in the coming decades or centuries as processing power achieve levels we currently can't fathom? So cosmologist Paul Davies has over the years shared many deep thoughts on this complex topic. He has spoken so much on the subject that he preferred to let his past ruminations do the talking. Even as far back as 2003, in a story for The Guardian, Davies was posted a brain-boggling simulation scenario. Mathematicians have proved that a universal computing machine can create an artificial world that is itself capable.
Oh, I'm
what?
Just waiting for your big reveal.
Oh, that simulations nest inside simulations. So, like,
oh
your
my
whole
God.
Idea of the box inside the box inside the box inside the box. Literally, it's what it is.
Literally, it's like it's fathomable.
Yeah, it just keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. But because fake worlds can outnumber real ones without restriction, the real multiverse would inevitably spawn a vastly greater numbers of virtual multiverses. So you were talking about that a little bit earlier with the whole Spider-Man sitch.
Yeah, because it's sort of like multiverses on top of multiverses. Oh,
yeah.
That's wild.
But I bet you're wondering out there, what are the consequences of proving that this life is a simulation? So Preston Green, a philosophy professor at Nanyang Technological University.
Another philosopher.
Why is it always a man named Preston Green?
Where are the girl philosophers?
Where are the... For real.
Where are the girl
for
philosophers?
For real. I'm right here.
Where
I'm right
here.
Philosophers? We're right here.
We're here. Today. On the Mystery
Today.
Files.
on some Mr. Files.
Telling you to wake up.
Wake up. Smell the air. It's curated by us.
Smell the air. It smells like nothing.
You ever look at the sky and it looks funny? That's because we're about to peel it back like a piece of paper.
Not us. You ever seen Nope?
Nope. Yeah, I have.
Yeah?
Yeah. On a plane.
On a plane? That's a terrifying place to watch Nope.
That's where I watch it. No, I watch it on a plane, for real, for real.
You look at the clouds and it's like slightly off.
I go, interesting. Aliens. Peel it back. Here I am. Peel back the sky. That's when you see the inside of the computer.
You know what I just had the thought of? What if we live inside a pop-up book right now?
Stop
like,
it.
People are reading us right now, and it's the podcast, and, like, we pop
Stop.
Up on the
it's,
frame, like...
Wait, it's actually, like, the movie Bedtime Stories.
Yes! It's exactly like
ew,
that.
We're some kid's bedtime story in another
and
universe.
And they can, like, design us, so when we wear different clothes, it's like they bought stuff for the pop-up book.
That's so cute. So you're telling me some kid chose a simulation theory as his bedtime story, and us talking on this podcast, and you out there listening to this podcast are all part of the pop-up book?
Exactly. No. And they put little Velcro outfits on us.
Aww, thanks
That's
for the
plot of the Lego movie.
Is the Lego movie just a simulation?
It is. Have you ever seen the Lego movie?
Yeah.
At the end, like, the kid's, like, playing.
Oh,
and, like, the whole thing is that he was playing a game with his siblings or something like
that. Oh, my gosh. He's the creator.
Yeah. And then the sequel is him playing it with his sister.
That one's really sad. I don't like the second one.
Really? I like the second one.
It's kind of a bummer.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. So...
Lego.
This guy from Singapore, the philosopher man, said that he thinks we could be living in a simulation right now. So this guy believes it's about time some man has a brain big enough to believe something crazy.
Damn.
Yeah. But proving as much he had warned would be catastrophic. So he believed it, but he's like, well, you're going to die. So.
Jesus.
For real. That was literally him. He's like, I believe it as a man, but you know, it's going to kill you all. Catastrophic.
That's. Insane.
I know.
Imagine he's on a first date and he's talking about simulation theory. It's like, yeah, it's gonna kill both of us one day.
I do believe
anyway,
it.
Anyway, more breadsticks?
You want some breadsticks? You're about to die, but happy simulation day. For real.
That's insane.
I know.
Great.
So just Lovely. As present day researchers use simulations to digitally create scenarios to aid scientific study, what would happen if we eliminate mosquitoes? Our world and every moment of our past existence might be simulated experiment of future humans. So like it's also the idea of, like, the butterfly effect. What they take away could da-da-da-da, and what they
Love
keep,
the butterfly
like,
effect.
There's so many options. Like, the butterfly effect, I feel like, definitely works in this situation. I'm like, ooh, it's a video game. It's literally in the video games.
Yeah, it's literally everything, every action has a...
Equal opposite reaction.
Exactly.
Thanks, like, Hamilton.
It's, like, it's wild. I love butterfly theory. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so cool.
It's crazy. But just as scientists can terminate simulations of earthquakes, weather, da-da-da-da, when they can no longer provide useful data, so too can our hypothetical overlord pull the plug at any time without warning. So it's the idea of, like, they could just be done with us and go, yeah.
Hear me out, though.
I'm listening. Yeah.
Hear me out. I'm gonna throw out another
I'm hearing. I'm listening.
Theory.
Yeah.
If they were to pull the plug.
Yeah.
What if it didn't stop us? Because think about it. Like, some technology, when you turn it off, it doesn't, like, turn off. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what if we're so far into, like, the simulation that, like, if you try to turn us off, we're already, like, we could already be, you know how, like, you can see stars burning in the sky or something like that, and they're already gone?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's like that? Where, like, we're already gone.
We are an imprint of what we were in
exactly.
the universe.
Like,
okay.
And how we talk about with ghosts, like, they keep repeating the same, like, patterns and things. What if it's like that, too?
That would be nuts.
I don't want to say what specific one does, but Black Mirror episodes mess with that, too.
Okay.
The idea of, like, what if you're in a simulation, but it's already over?
Wow. Oh, that's creepy. That's really creepy.
Like, so they might not be able to turn us off. You know, like, the same way, like... You know, if you unplug a TV,
I'm thinking Wreck-It Ralph when they unplug the game.
Yeah.
If they unplug a game. But I guess they could just run to another game. So, like, what if we had to run to another simulation? We had to figure out how to get there first.
Hello.
Wait, this is starting to happen, though, because this kind of stuff only happens in movies when you get self-aware. So I'm self-aware of the fact that we're living in a simulation. Couldn't I just figure out a way to run to the other simulation? Hear me out. Beep, boop, bop. It worked.
We're in the new one.
We're living in a simulation. Yeah, we're rocking it. But rest assured, Green said, it would be a quick and painless death. So if we did die, It's going to be a quick one.
Maybe I'm dead right now and I don't even know it. Great.
This is death. But if our physicists use experiments to prove we live in a simulation, and they tell everyone about this and that we have a large effect on how our civilization behaves, he explained, then our simulation would no longer be useful for answering questions about the basement or the foundational level of reality, which contains the computers doing the simulations. Then Green continued that this is because such experiment proofs could never happen on the basement level. So even though there are many possibilities for how our simulators would react to our using experiments to prove we live in a simulation, simulation shutdown is worth taking at least as seriously as anything else, since it's supported by observed trends in simulated science. Mm. So, like, we should respect the idea of simulation theory because they're already doing things that
make AI sentient enough to have that. That's
so
crazy.
So they're like, I know, like, we shouldn't believe it because we're all sciencey and stuff, but, like, we're already kind of doing this. But
with other things, but we don't know if that's, like, a simulation inside of a simulation. Mm-hmm.
But then I feel like it gets trippier when they're talking about the basement level, which you can't do simulation because it's, like, foundation of what simulation, like, resides on.
Yeah.
How could you ever be sure that you weren't another simulation inside of it? Like, how would you know you were the foundation? Because
you wouldn't.
The thing is, we're making simulations, so how do we know we're not the foundation? And it's just like people...
And we're starting it now.
And people are thinking that, and I feel like that's a hot mess.
Not to freak you out. Yeah. I'm going to go off of your idea, because I think this is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, we're the originators. We're the first ones.
We're the founders.
And all the AI right now is going to be us right now talking about this on a podcast, doing this theory. Because these scientists doing these theories is the foundation of it? Like, they're saying there's this theory that there's people above us, but what if that is the thought process of the first ones that are us, and then we're making it happen?
So are we the OGs?
Yes. I'm saying, like,
that's not as scary then, because we are the foundation. Yeah. So we're not a simulation. We're creating the simulations. Because
you're saying that, like, there's AI making simulations that are very, like, sentient or, like, aware.
That are getting there.
Yeah, they're getting there. So it's like, what if, like, all these, like, theories of, like, we're not the first ones is how we become the first ones?
Wow.
Mic drop.
At least we're real in that theory.
Yeah.
I'll take it, even though it gets horrifying after that.
You're stressed. So real. You're real. I'm stinking real stressed. For that.
You're so real for that.
Oh my god, Tiffany, you're so real for
they
that.
They say that in every simulation. You're so real for that, just to make sure.
That's how you come down from disassociation, not even a simulation. Like, oh, you're so real.
I tell myself that. Tiffany, oh you're god. So real for that.
Oh my god, that's it's what like, I do. I'll look in the
mirror. It's a grounding exercise.
Logan, you're so real.
That's your grounding you're exercise. Real. You look in the mirror, just to make sure.
What I'm gonna do after this, let's look in the mirror and say, you're so real.
I feel like it'll freak me out more. And honestly, I shouldn't. No. No.
Bloody Mary, you're so real.
I'm too scared of Bloody Mary. I'm literally.
Okay, Mary.
She's giving blood. Okay, giving Mary. Blood. She's literally giving blood.
Simulation
theory. No, it's horrifying.
You're giving me all the Black Mary teas I can need, honey.
She's gonna stir the pot just a little bit.
She's gonna go, I'm gonna eat your flesh.
You're gonna die tonight. You're a simulation, but you can still die.
What if all the hysteria of creepy stuff we cover is all the part of the simulation that we're supposed to cover on this podcast?
Well, we're getting into somewhat of what you just talked about.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
Sorry, I'm running.
No. So not everyone in the scientific community is on board with the theory that, like, all the observed trends in simulation science, all that stuff. Yeah. Some of them don't believe it because boo. So during during a panel held in New York, a group of skeptics gathered to discuss the topic. Randall was the group's most definitive doubter, although she doubted for the possibility. So we do have some women talking in the room. It's about time.
Yeah, woman!
But she doubts it. So we can kind of clap, but, like, she's wrong. She's wrong.
It's like feminism without intersectionality.
Yeah.
It's like,
she's trying.
Yeah.
But be different. Great.
Stop.
You're trying. Although she allowed for the possibility that nothing is what it seems, including the cognitive process of observation, she also wondered about the judgment of our supposed simulators in choosing humankind for their grand experiment. So it's just not based on well-defined possibilities, Randall said. The argument says you'd have lots of things that want to simulate us, and I actually have a problem with that. We mostly are interested in ourselves, so why simulate us? I mean, there's so many things to be simulating. I don't know why the higher species would want to bother with us, is what she said.
That kind of spills.
Which is like, well, why are we worth it, is essentially what she's saying.
Yeah, we're very normal.
Yeah.
Why would they do that when we could have wings and feed?
Or, like, if there's another advanced species, like, aliens or something.
Why would they look like them?
Yeah, or why would they not? Why would they not choose aliens to simulate if they're so much smarter and like better equipped for like a crazy thing?
I see that, but that's her perception that's been programmed for her. Also,
beep boop bop.
Anything can be argued as a simulation.
For real.
Like, what if we look like aliens? We think this is what humans look like.
But like, we're skin bags.
We're just meat
sacks.
We're
just some meat sack skin bags.
What are those meat sacks?
Ew.
We're 90% water. This is like
slightly
body.
Off topic for a second, but I kept seeing these TikToks that were talking about, like, if people, this is another skin situation, like we're talking about last week. Fine. People were saying they wish they could, like, just unzip their skin and take it off and, like, just rinse themselves.
That sounds lovely.
And, like, feel the cooling of just their entire energy. And I'm like, wow.
That would fix my body temperature. I know. So everyone was quickly. Like,
that would literally do something.
Oh,
so,
I need that.
All right those now. Simulated people need it.
That.
So, is it possible to disprove a simulation theory? It was widely thought that the simulation hypothesis had been disproven once and for all when, in 2017, physicists Zohar Ringel and Dmitry Zakharovy published an article in which their work was at most indirectly relevant to simulation, which Zohar later dismissed as not even a scientific question. Specifically, they proved that a classical computing technique called quantum Monte Carlo, used to simulate quantum particles, photons, electrons, and other types of particles that comprise the universe, was insufficient to simulate a quantum computer itself, a breakthrough that would negate the need to physically build these next-level machines, which is a no-easy task. And if it's impossible to simulate a quantum computer, forget about simulating the universe. They're saying, do we even have the technology to create a computer high enough to make a simulation? Or, like, they don't know yet. So, CurrCosmos.com, the researchers calculated that just storing information about a couple hundred electrons would require a computer memory that would physically require more atoms than exist in the universe already. So, they're saying, like, do we even have any sort of capability to create this, like, physically?
That's almost comforting, though.
Yeah, like, it's the idea
that it's such a high mass that, like, we would never get to
that. Even though it is so crazy, it's, like, so crazy that probably it might not be true.
I guess that makes sense because, like, a lot of AI is based off of stuff we've already created and, like, feeding into it and, like, everything. So that would make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I could see that.
I'm like, they're kind of onto something.
Yeah, that's the most comforting thing I've heard. It's like, oh.
So if you guys have been stressed, we don't really know,
I just woke up. That's crazy.
I feel awake. That's just the reset button they placed in you.
That's not just the coffee.
It's not the coffee talking. It is the coffee talking. So nonetheless, Ringel, the paper's lead author, appeared to leave the door ever so slightly open on the topic when he told Popular Mechanics, who knows what are the computing capabilities of whatever simulate us. So I know you're like, well, we don't have that technology.
Yeah, but like, that's
Who knows what the people before us that simulated us have? Like, they don't know the tea.
That's the hardest part about simulation stuff. Yeah. They're like, well, obviously we don't have this. I was like, to you. That's what you
think. But like, the people that computed you probably do. So like, you were refreshed.
Simulation is imagination.
Yeah.
It can go as far as we think it can go. Mm-hmm. So you can just make an excuse for anything.
Yeah. It's just funny that you were like so refreshed for a second. And then it was like, well, what about the other guys?
Yeah. Now.
Literally,
now,
what about?
Now my fight or flight's
out. Now you're asleep again.
I'm ready.
So in other words, echoing Bostrom and Green, some advanced species could possess a system that makes even the world's fastest supercomputers look slow. So maybe they perfected quantum computing, or maybe it's something else entirely. Something of which our limited minds can't even conceive.
Our dumb little pea brains.
Our dumb little silly little brains. So some reasons we might be living in the simulation include the Mandela effect.
Yes.
Yeah, that one's a main one. I'm just going to go through some of these quickly and we can always go back to them later because there's a lot. And we're already an hour in, so.
I would just do like a quick like.
So also ideas of like aliens. So they're thinking that we spent billions sending probes through outer space and should probably have found evidence of extraterrestrials by now. So aliens would likely be far more technologically advanced than we are, the thinking goes. So the fact that we haven't located them suggests that we live in a simulation.
Because we are not able to reach it because they make the... The sphere.
The sphere. And it also says, like, them suggesting we live in a simulation, and the aliens have probably figured out how to escape from the simulation already, so that's why we can't find them, even though, like, we have all this evidence, and they figured out how to leave, which, that's horrifying. There's one about climate change. They said our civilization is set on the cusp of environmental chaos, suggesting we could be an ancestor simulation created in hopes that we show our creators how to solve an energy crisis. So, like, they're thinking that, like, this is all happening because we are here. We're on the cusp of it.
Like a what-if scenario. Mm-hmm. What would you do?
What would you do? So, like, how do you solve it? The theory overlaps slightly with the aliens as simulation quitters theory above. If we found an innovative solution to climate crisis, extraterrestrial beings might return to the idea to find the results. Wow. So they'd come back to see what results we've gained because they're that smart, which is horrifying, which is nasty.
Insane. That's insane. That one's wild. Mm-hmm. Girl, that's just like Roblox.
It's literally Roblox.
Have you seen that? Have I talked about that before?
No, I don't think. Spill it. Spill the beans.
There's a Roblox game. I've talked about this way too much. There's a Roblox game called like weather, climate, disaster, something like that. Mm-hmm. And you're in the game and it's like 100 players.
Yeah.
And you're in like a random city or building, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they throw a random disaster at you and you have to try to be the last one standing. So they'll have like tsunamis. And you have to, like, jump buildings and stuff.
No, that's literally what this is, though. Why is it what this is, literally?
And they have, like, a little, like, counter that the person who wins the last one does, and they spin the wheel, and it gets to pick how many disasters happen in the next game.
Logan, why is that?
That's literally this
That's
theory.
A little too real, though.
That's Roblox. That's a game I played with
when
my
When did
siblings.
Roblox come out? Do you remember? Is it pretty recent?
A time. It's been out for a minute, though.
That's nuts.
It's so fun. It's so funny.
Well, that's the answer to the universe, guys. Roblox.
Roblox is the answer to all.
Roblox is why we're living in a simulation. Thanks, Roblox.
Is God real? Who knows? Roblox.
Check out next week. So, the last little thing I want to say on the reasons we might be living in a simulation. This one, I think, is pretty stinking solid. Ooh. So, it makes more sense than ghosts. So, paranormal evidence and paranormal events are not hauntings or alien encounters, but glitches in the simulation.
Yeah.
This theory is the one most explored on Reddit forums. So, like, the forums Are We Living in a Simulation, Glitch in the Matrix, which are users that explore big ideas and philosophy funneled into the details of the odd or the occult. Mm. A storefront exists in a town one day, and then it doesn't. There's all these parallel timelines. Things pop up. They pop out. It's that whole idea, and it's just a bunch of glitches in the dimensions.
Yeah, no,
so
I can see that.
They're like, it's not ghosts. It's just, I slammed that door in that other dimension. That's why that slammed. Which, I don't know if I like that or hate that idea. But, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of, again, like, the Spider-Verse, like, theory. Like, if something's not in the right canon, it's gonna, like...
Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's horrifying.
Yeah, like me.
Like you. You're not
what
canon.
If I, like, what if I just, like, disappeared right now and I turned into a hedgehog? Like, Sonic?
Boom.
I'm like...
Wow.
What's up? I'm gonna go fast.
Whoa! You have, like, the awful Sonic-looking thing on your face. Like, when Sonic looked really
the
bad.
The original one.
The OG Sonic. You look just, like, horrifying.
I kind of look like him.
Spot the difference. It's getting harder every day. So now I'm just going to talk about just a few small little glitches in the simulation. Like, these are just the silly BuzzFeed stories I wanted to share. They're silly, but very quick. This one is the disappearing phone story. So it says, one time I was standing at the top of the stairs talking to my mom down below. I dropped my phone, and as it was going down the stairs, it completely disappeared.
That's weird.
There are no cracks or spaces it could have slipped into. There's a flush wall at the way down on both sides. My mom and I were both mind blown that we couldn't find this phone anywhere. 2 days later, I was cleaning the upstairs hall, and there my phone was, underneath my sister's dollhouse.
What?
There's no way this could have possibly happened. My mom and I both saw the phone bounce down the stairs, and then poof, gone. But they just found it randomly sitting under the dollhouse a couple days ago.
That's so weird.
That's very strange.
Ew, that's like interdimensional portal stuff, too. Like, what if it fell through, like, a little portal and, like, just landed there?
I'm like, that grosses me out.
Oh, because it doesn't understand what volume is, like, as, like, a table feels,
it's
or,
just
like, a wall.
What is true?
Like, is it real?
Not
is it
this
a
stair.
Wall? Is it a chair?
Well, what that knows? Freaks me out, like, everything around you. Because you're like, well, is that wall over there only real for... Like, when I go to touch it.
Yeah.
But it's not real when I'm looking at it. Like,
I mean, not to freak you out.
Oh, great.
But everything around you is as real as you perceive it.
It's true if you think it's true. This one's called The Time Traveler. So they say, I think we saw a time traveler. So this happened Great. About a...
I'm sorry.
I think I saw a time traveler.
That's such a beginning. Like, this one's about a time traveler. I think we saw a time traveler.
Really? The proof's in the pudding, folks.
Great book.
Great book. Great 10 out of 10.
Literature.
10 Literally. Out of 10, BuzzFeed. 10 out of 10. High art. High art. So, this happened about a week ago, but my memory is still pretty fresh. My boyfriend and I were in the car on the way to get dinner and chatting casually. Everything was normal. As we pulled up to a red light, somebody caught my attention. There was a guy, I'd say between 15 and 18 years old, walking on the sidewalk across the street. I noticed him because he looked like he was straight out of 2004. That's
Damn.
Funny. Get him.
Damn.
He said baggy jeans, gray beanie, black t-shirt over a long-sleeve white shirt. I thought it was
He's
funny.
He's got the drip.
He's got the drip. Figured he was some kind of skater and pointed it out to my boyfriend and made some jokes about the guy being from the 2000s. We both agreed he looked out of place and that when he started joking, he must be a time traveler. I said something like, he's probably thinking, whoa, dude, where am I? And as soon as I said it, the guy started to look around where he was and look confused. So we were in the car and across a busy street from him. No way he heard us say that. We remarked that it was weird as we watched the guy look around confused for a few moments. Then, we both look away for no more than half a second. I don't remember why, and when we looked back, the guy was gone. So, at first, we laughed and thought it was funny, and the more we looked, the more we realized he had gone nowhere. He had nowhere to go, and he completely disappeared. And I cannot stress this enough, we barely looked away and had nowhere to go, that we both wouldn't be able to see him.
Right.
We both freaked out and drove most of the rest of the way in silence while we thought about this time-traveling story. We haven't really talked about it since, but we agree that it was obviously really weird.
Girl, that's the downtown witch.
That, literally, I was thinking about that when I was putting this in here, because Logan and I saw this woman on the street. We probably already told the story a billion
times.
We've told
it. This might be the fourth time, but who knows? It might be someone's first
time. Downtown witch saw this lady with her windblown hair looking really sketchy on the street, and we were like, she didn't sit right with us. We went to go look at her from our window, and she was just gone, and we like looked down the street the whole way. Both ways on the different
There's
blocks.
There's like no way she would have gotten that
There's
far.
Nowhere for her to go.
She like disappeared. The and, other weird thing, did you yeah. say this already? How it was not windy and her hair was flowing in the wind?
It was girl, not windy at all. Girl. We literally, I feel like she didn't have a face. I just saw like yeah. hair blowing in her face and she's standing on the corner in this like white, like ripped up dress.
What if she's one of, what if she's like a time agent and she was trying to save us? Or she was scouting us for us
scouting
to do this
us.
Episode right now.
Ew, that freaks me out. That really freaks me out. I really can't.
See her.
Shut your mouth.
Wake up.
Logan, I want to cry. So, let me choose one more of these. Let me find a real good one for you. Oh, okay. This one's called The Duplicate Dad. I had lots of insane...
I wish. Me. And I'd have two parents.
Wow. I'd have a dad. I had lots of insane... Call him out. Call him out.
That's it. That's the one that broke
That's
me.
That's the episode.
Thanks for the mystery files, everybody.
That's all.
Anyway, so, fathers?
Fathers, yeah. I had lots of insane glitch in the matrix moments when I was younger. One morning when I was getting ready for school, I went to go downstairs to get breakfast and pass by my parents' bedroom. The door was slightly ajar, and I peeked in to see my dad putting his tie on and getting ready for work. When I got downstairs to the kitchen, my dad was already in there making toast. I was so confused. Our house was small and only had one staircase, and there was no way he could have gotten to the kitchen without me seeing him or him going past me. Really weird. So, if that wasn't...
That's it?
If that wasn't a glitch story, I feel like it was probably either this person just randomly saw something and, like, didn't really understand what they were seeing in the corner of their eye, or, like, ghost dad.
I mean, ghost dad. I could see that, like, a glitch. Like, mm-hmm. It was, like, reframing. Like,
yeah.
You know how, like, whenever you'll watch a video sometimes and the audio doesn't sync up with what you're seeing sometimes mm-hmm. and it's a glitch on your computer?
I'm like, your eyes would be glitching.
That's wild. Mm-hmm. That's scary. Or maybe he has, like, a secret, like, elevator he takes just to screw
he
with
just,
his
He just, walked really fast. He's like, let me freak you out.
A dad would do that.
Yeah.
A dad would absolutely.
It's
I'm
just
gonna
a glitch. It's just a, you're gonna do that. You would do that.
I would do that to my kid. Like, yeah. Make him think I'm a glitch. I'd be like.
That's
I'd, like,
evil.
Build a whole elevator to,
oh
like,
my
pretend.
Gosh.
Like, what do you mean? I've been down here the whole time.
I was here the whole time. That's, like, me convincing. I was convincing kids at camp the one day about, like, that they had mind control powers to close doors. And the kid was, like, 7.
We've definitely talked about it on the podcast before. Yeah. But do you remember when we convinced all the freshmen at our college about the ghost mm-hmm. that existed in that
the
dorm?
The tapper.
Never existed. Completely made it up.
We were like, what if we made a folklore story for the incoming freshmen as a... orientation leader. That'd
People
be so funny.
Tell it still to this day, which I think is so
That's so funny.
Funny.
Stir the pot.
That's,
I love it.
That's my legacy. Nothing I did mm-hmm. at Point Park
Yeah.
It's that. I mean, college that I go to.
College. We've already said it.
Look at my Instagram.
I named Point Perk, and we created the tapper. Mostly you created the tapper. I supported the decision, though. The topper. She's arrived. No.
Wake up, Tiffany. No. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey.
Hello, my ragtime doll, cow. What's the word? I don't know.
Ragtime doll.
Gal? I don't know.
Moo.
Moo. So there's a lot of other stories on here, but they're essentially stories of, like, this person lost a remote. They lost one of the remotes, and they randomly found it, like, months later, and it was, like, the remote was so specific that it was, they got one for their TV, and it had, like, tape on the back, and, like, one of the little numbers was, like, smudged out, and they lost it. And they found it, and then months later, they found another one that was exactly the same, identical, in terms of, like, the number was scratched out and all that kind of stuff. And there's, like, a lot of stories like that.
Yeah.
That don't sit right with me. But they're
found, like, somewhere else that's not the couch. I'm
yeah. Assuming, or, like, someone buys one thing. And I was talking to my friend Lexi about this yesterday, but she was telling some story about, I guess there was, like, this kid's mom who found this pair of shoes, and her kid already had this identical pair of shoes, but it was weird because her mom had thrifted them, and, like, they had different colored laces than what they initially had, and had, like, scuff on one shoe. So the fact that she found two pairs that were identical, even though they were, like, so specific and thrifted, they found another pair of them identical. I'm like, that's quite strange. And, like, she didn't get them for the kid. The dad didn't get them for the kid. So where'd they come from? And why are they exactly the same?
Do you have any glitch stories? Do you think, like, you can think of a glitch that's happened in your life?
I don't know. I can't remember one off the top of my head that I know of.
I was trying to think of one as I was asking you. And I can only think of, like, one thing. I really have to sit on it.
Yeah.
I don't have, like, a lot to go off of this. But I just remember I was at a high school graduation for a friend.
Yeah.
And the kid who came was wearing a shirt.
Yeah.
That, like, had, like, some, I think it was, like, Ted Cruz, like, with the whole Ted Cruz is the Zodiac Killer thing.
Yeah.
And it said, like, Ted Cruz is, like, the Zodiac Killer, yada, yada, yada. And I thought, and I kept laughing at the shirt.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, yeah, haha, like, it's funny. And, like, I remember having a full conversation with him about it.
Yeah.
Checked Instagram the next day. It didn't even say, like, Ted Cruz or anything like that. It was, like, a completely different, like, message. Or, like, it was a different political figure.
Oh.
So I don't know if my brain misread it.
Yeah.
Or if it was, like, glitched of what it was supposed to say. That's the only thing I can think of that I remember being like, no, I know for a fact that's what I saw.
Because
me and my friends were laughing about it.
That's really strange. Then the next day
on Instagram, it was completely different.
Well, that's the whole idea of the Mandela effect. I know we didn't get much to in this episode. Maybe another episode we'll talk about it. But, like, that's the whole idea. And that's horrifying.
It's definitely one of the weirdest things that was, like, I like, know in my heart it was real. But I'm like, was it?
No, you experienced the Mandela effect.
I was glitching.
Congratulations, you be glitching. I wish glitching. I had one. But
I wish I could glitch more.
I wish I could glitch. Fun. It feels so nice. So I guess it leaves me with one question. What do you believe? Do you believe it, or parts you don't believe? You said you did have a glitch, but what do you think? Do you believe in the idea of we're living in a simulation?
I could see it. I mean, that's the whole thing we were talking about with, like, imagination. It just sucks because it's like the whole idea is, like, can be easily disproved. If I'm like, well, that's not true because, like, science is only this far. But then you can be like, but that's as far as the simulation thinks.
That's as far as this one thinks. Yeah.
So, me, as a gay living in the city, 25 years old, not a lot of money, can't prove if we're not in a simulation or not.
So.
It'd be kind of cool, but I hope not. But also maybe.
But
so
also,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, is it really ruining my life? Probably not.
Not so yet.
I'm just vibing for right now. And until the uprising happens. And once that happens.
Good luck, Charlie.
Nothing matters.
What really matters then?
Exactly. What about
what's
you?
Real?
What's your...
I feel like I definitely believe it. Just because of how weird life can be sometimes. Mm-hmm. Just how, like, weird you can feel disconnected from your body. And I know it's like a mental thing, but, like...
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels a little too real.
Sometimes it's weird how a brain works. How, like, right now I'm talking to you, and I'm thinking of the next sentence I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
And the next word.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
And then my brain's also, like, I'm looking around, but I don't know what's happening. You know what I mean? Like, it's just quite strange.
The brain is also just gross. It's just wild how much it does.
Get some help, Mr. Brain. But, yeah, I feel like I definitely believe it. Also, the fact that, like, the simulation prior to us, or whoever our ancestors of said simulation universe, mm-hmm. I feel like they were definitely, like, big enough to start this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because I also do believe in God. So I'm like, did God just create someone?
Or is God just...
Is he the puppeteer?
He's the teenage computer boy man? With the Mountain Dew.
But it's also like, well, what if there's a God who's controlling a universe, who's creating a simulation that we're living inside? That's a whole thing.
That's how science works.
That's how science works. I don't know.
Why does science work?
That's the thing. I'm like,
How do things have a reaction? How'd that happen?
Mm-hmm. All of it.
Who made that rule? Who decided that?
And it makes sense too for the idea for people who are like, well, people who believe in God and are saying that the universe is so well perfected that it was created by God. It makes sense for that, and it also makes sense for the idea that, like, we are curated by a simulation. Yeah.
It's also, like, scary, because it's, like, weird to think about, like, nature is also a simulation. Mm-hmm. Like, nature found a way, like, the idea of the environment and biosphere has found a way to make plants grow, mm-hmm. and what they need to do well.
Water, things evolved sunshine. To, like, live in their, like, environments. We like, there's so many different things.
We used to be a little lizard in the water till we crawled out.
We turned into humans.
Yeah.
We were Adam and Eve. We were all of the above. But I definitely believe it. And I believe in that, and I believe in God. So whatever that means in terms of simulation, that's what I believe.
What if you just got to the higher power and, like, God just hits the enter button? You just, disappear.
He went, Tiffany got the right answer. I get beamed up. It's like, Tiffany, you were so right. I am real. And this was a simulation. And you did correct.
Now play a game of Call of Duty with me.
Now play Boop Bop game with me.
Now play some games. You want to play a Fortnite game?
Fortnite game. Can you imagine I get to heaven, and after I've lived through this simulation, and we play a video game, and it's just Pong? Can you imagine? I'd be so mad.
I'd be so mad. You're like, God, stop it!
I was literally so excited for this. I thought it was going to be way better than Earth. No.
You know what I was just thinking about?
What?
Why was our god Catherine O'Hara, but British? Like, oh, please.
Our voices?
Yeah.
Because God has the most beautiful voice. That's why.
And it's Catherine O'Hara, British.
It's Catherine O'Hara. The birds.
The birds.
The birds. But to conclude.
We're in a simulation.
In a simulation. Well, definitely, love. You might be wondering, why does any of this matter? What is the purpose of proving or disproving that life as we know it is merely a digital construct, an existence, simply an immensely complex experiment in someone else's virtual terrarium? The broad answer, Virk said, is that we all good science pursuits are truth, and more specifically, our truth. If we do in fact exist inside a video game that requires our characters to perform certain quests and achievements in order to progress, Virk posited, wouldn't it be useful to know that what kind of game we're in to increase our chances of surviving and thriving? What are you going to say?
Nothing. I'm waiting for
you. Oh, okay. His answer, not surprisingly, is an unqualified yes. I think it would make all the difference in the world, whatever type of world it is. So whether or not you out there believe we're living in a simulation, the ultimate truth of this theory will forever remain
a mystery. Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, this is Harry the Hedgehog, guys.
Hello.
He's just a little cute hedgehog we have on the table. That's Logan's son. Logan and Danny's son. Call you out, Danny. You're welcome. But yes, that was the show. That was the episode.
It was so good.
Thank you.
I love the direction we're going with the summer tapes. I'm loving this.
I did speed through a lot of the glitches, so.
I mean, there were 60 pages.
But we're only a little over an hour.
That's an episode. That's a podcast.
Pretty stinking good. So
you know what isn't a podcast? 8 minutes.
8 minutes. That's a video. But yes, thank you for watching our show and listening to our show. We love you the most. Like, rate, review, whatever
subscribe,
you want to do.
Whatever you can. Any ratings will help us out so much. Likes, comments, sharing. If you can share these videos to your Instagram, your Twitter, Facebook, please. Anything helps.
Yes.
And we appreciate you.
We do. Also, if you are listening, please check out the YouTube. Since we did get a wonderful little editor, go check out the lovely work he's going to be doing on our show. Mm-hmm. We're so excited to welcome him to our team. He's a lovely, hilarious person. And we're just excited to see what's going to happen with the show. So thank you all so much.
And we will see you
next week
for my case.
For Logan's case.
All right.
Goodbye.
Don't glitch.